Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 437. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'm so excited Jeff's not here. So
excited. You're just ruining the surprise now. So.
Surprise, yeah. Jeff's not here to talk about Resident Evil. Surprise.
I will say this much. I'm slightly disappointed that Jeff isn't here, because I really want to hear his take on the Metroid news.
Yeah.
Maybe we should save that for next week.
Earl is here, though.
Hi.
And he brings all sorts of sad news for Jeff.
Hey, Jeff just signed into Xbox Live. I'm just saying.
I mean, that could be Melissa.
Sure. Sure, it could be. It could be.
I don't know. Jeff is very cold right now. It's like, what, negative 20 or something up there?
And like negative like 45 with the wind chill.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that's nothing. That's shorts weather.
Right. Jeff should be used to it by now. He's a mailman. They're like weatherproof, right?
No, like today they weren't. even they were like, yeah, it's too cold to go out and do that.
I need my Amazon packages on time. I don't care how cold it is.
Get out there and deliver. Yes, it's very cold in the United States. I mean, it's cold here on the East Coast too. Tony, how cold is it where you are? Because
I think the high today was like 22.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's really high.
Yeah.
Yeah, DC doesn't get quite as cold as other places do.
I think our high was 9.
And ours was like 15, so as you go north, it gets a little bit colder. Yeah, Earl, you were cold at work, huh?
Yeah, because for some reason they don't. Like, the buildings, because we are a newer wing of the building, so the heating's separate than the rest of the building. The rest of the building was fine. Our office was freezing. It's just funny watching a bunch of people dressed up in like their coats, scarves, and hats walking around the office all day.
We're too stubborn to leave because it's cold. We will get paid, and we will work in our gloves.
Well, I wanted to go home, but I'm like, I've kind of taken off a bit of time recently. So.
That's fair. Well, I hope they fix your heat at work. Cause...
So do I, because I am not staying a full day for Friday if it isn't.
I do not blame you. So, yeah, we have some games, some new stuff. Jeff is not here, and he is the only one I believe that has played Resident Evil 2, so nothing on that.
Yeah.
And we haven't played Kingdom Hearts 3 yet, but Earl has started Kingdom Hearts.
Yes, I have actually.
Kingdom Hearts?
Yes, I've never played any of them. And I mean, honestly, they're kind of in my wheelhouse. Ish, I you know, who doesn't have Disney stuff? I don't necessarily care for the Final Fantasy stuff, which has been fascinating because there's like moments where like characters come on screen. I'm like, I assume there's supposed to be a big deal. I'm like, I don't know who you are. And then I'll say the name.
I'm trying to think of like who was in like Squall, Cloud.
Those are the two I've run into so far. You fight Cloud in the Colosseum from Hercules.
Yes.
And Squall, I think. Oh, Squall is the one who rescues you during the first main town in the game, Traverse Town.
Mm-hmm.
You run into him there, and he's kind of like your mentor figure.
Right, like because he lives there.
Yeah.
Kind of guide you around. And you'll run into some other ones, but it's mostly like at that point in time, I think it was mostly like Final Fantasy 7 and 8 characters, maybe a couple ones from 10.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's kind of like a snapshot of Disney. Because like you think about it, and like Tarzan isn't necessarily what I would call a classic Disney movie that comes to mind when I hear Disney.
Right.
But yeah, it is that. What is it? Tarzan, I've done Iris in Wonderland, which I guess is kind of timeless. And then Hercules, which again is a product of a very late 90s Disney.
It was like after their, you know, their modern classics, Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, Lion King. Then we went into that like kind of little stretch with Mulan, Hercules, Tarzan. I think it even got a little weirder with like, what was the Atlantis movie?
Yeah. I think Atlantis would have been just after this game came out. I think the original Kingdom Hearts is like 2001. And I think Atlantis might have been the same year actually. Mm. But yeah, I guess it's also fascinating. I mean, I guess it's a Disney property, so it makes sense. It's Square, but it's a very simple kind of RPG system. It's essentially an action RPG that's very beat 'em up in nature.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually finding I actually do enjoy that combat. I do enjoy simple beat 'em ups, as we'll get to in a second. And you know, so far the story isn't like already. You know, that's the big thing I heard going into Kingdom Hearts is that the story's bad shit.
So the story in the first one is actually it's pretty simple.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting so far.
It gets more like nutso as you get outside of that first game. Things just start like they start introducing a lot of characters and split beings that are clones of each other, and it gets nuts. But the first one's pretty simple. You're on pretty solid ground for right now.
Yeah, I'm also fascinated by the game because I'm not necessarily sure who the audience is based off of that feedback I'm getting, because like it seems like it's designed for kids, because like I said, it's a very simple RPG. It's not very punishing so far. But then you have like this complex multi game. Like somebody told me that between Kingdom Hearts 1 and 3, there's something like 10 games. And yeah. It's like, it's all these games, and each one's like a little piece of the story. And it's not like you can, it's, you know, like sometimes you can like watch 1, 2, and 3, and you'll be good. It's like, no, you have to kind of get everything to understand what the hell is going on.
Yeah, because that, like, Birth by Sleep, which was a PSP game, is like very central to the story. Dream Drop Distance, which was a 3DS game, is important.
So you have to own like 12 different consoles to basically get the full experience.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now you just need to own a PS4, but.
Now, but like, I'm, like, yeah, over the course of what is it? Something like what, 18 years?
Mm-hmm.
It's been on what, the GBA,
yep,
the PlayStation 2, mm-hmm, the 3DS, the PSP,
the DS,
the DS, and now the Xbox One and PS4.
Yep. It's so it's, and there is important story stuff on mobile.
Oh yeah, it is. So yes, more than the story, it's a very difficult, because it's not like you could be like, oh, I owned all the Sony systems, I'm good, because right, that wouldn't have been the case either. So it's like there's no real thing to be like, okay, like you just have to follow this one straight path. And you know, just looking at it on paper, you wouldn't be able to tell what order the games came in just looking at the names,
right? Because there's no rhyme or reason to their naming convention.
There's not 1, 2, and 3, right?
And there is 1, 2, and 3.
There's 1, 2, and 3.
Well, there's 1, 2, 3D, which
yes, which is which, all three.
Yeah, and then 3.
And then, but the problem with that is, of course, like 1 exists. I think 2's the 4th game in this franchise. 3's the 12th game. So it's like, why even bother with numbers at that point?
Yeah, just name it like the ridiculous stuff, like Birth by Sleep or Dream Drop Distance, or
even the stuff where they did with this. Like they have the connections. There's 1.5 and 2.5, but I also think there's like a 1.8.
There's 2.8. 2.8 final prologue remix or something like that.
And it's like you're just making this overly complex to get into.
Yes, they don't make it friendly, and it is something that like I think like a lot of people would probably like even just for the gameplay and the aesthetic of it, because it's kind of cool being able to like just run around Disney like lands and hanging out with like Simba or the Little Mermaid and like beating shit up.
I was going to say, that's what I was surprised by so far. I've already done like the first three worlds. I'm in Tarzan's jungle world. Mm-hmm. And he's the first character who's actually joined your party. Like, I was thinking like these Disney characters would have been part of you. Like, you get Donald and Goofy, yes. But like, do you get any other characters?
So, no. So it'll be similar to how Tarzan will like join you. Like, you'll get in the world that you're in the specific Disney like world, you will get like, you know, help from that main character or a side character here and there. But Donald and Goofy are your party members.
Oh, Ace.
Okay. I mean, I haven't played all of the games, but in the ones I've played, that is mostly how it goes.
Yeah. Okay. So, I find that fascinating from an RPG standpoint, because you don't, like, even in the same game, you don't always start, you don't have the same party throughout the game. So it's fascinating. It's the same three characters throughout.
12 games.
Well, I don't think, from what I understand, they don't start, like, some of the spinoffs don't feature them, because some of them are prequels to this game and whatever.
Yeah, like Sora is not always the primary character. There are some other ones. And even a, Donald and Goofy aren't always your party members, but for the most part, they are there.
That was the other thing, because again, I just have some familiarity with some of the games. So I'm like, okay, if Sora was the main character, the 1, 2, and 3, that's fine. Then it's like, okay, you know, but Sora is also the main character of like 3D.
Yes.
So it's like, why?
And then there's Roxas, and like there's like a bunch of other it's not so you're in for a treat. I think I may actually play alongside you.
Oh God.
And I think you asked me, you're like, what order are you playing it in?
Yeah, like, exactly.
whatever order's on the disc. I am not trying to sit here and figure out my thesis statement on what order to play these games
in. Well, yeah, I mean there are timelines out there. That so I didn't know if you were like gonna try and play by timeline, like to try and understand the story directly, or if you were just gonna play it how it's kind of presented, which isn't necessarily by timeline or release order, but they have a fascinating system in that collection. So, you bought the story so far?
Yes.
Yeah. So in that. That really isn't like, at first I was like, oh, they've released a new package. Maybe I should get that one. But it's really just 1.5 and 2.5 and then 2.8 mixed together, yeah. Right?
Yeah, and it's also just it's a really ugly package.
Yeah.
The menus are pretty bare bones. But even like the game case, because I bought it physical, it's just like, yeah, it's just really bland. I'm like, I don't know how you make this so boring looking.
It's like a boring black checkerboard box, right? Like,
let me see if I have it near me, because I think it's it's just Kingdom Hearts, and then I guess it's like the cover art of 1, 2, and I don't know. And then it's like it's Kingdom Hearts, and it's like this little tiny picture like halfway down that takes up like maybe three, like a quarter of the thing, and then the story so far at the bottom.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a pretty thing.
Well, yeah, I'm interested to see how you progress with this. It's certainly has to be interesting. One, the game's almost 20 years old, like the one you're playing now, so like that's. There's been a lot of change in games since then.
I will say this much. I do think that it holds up well as far as these are HD remasters, but the games still look really good. And I think that's partially just because it has a more colorful.
Yeah, much like Nintendo games, like, can hold up pretty well. I think it's because of that art style, that cartoony art style. And it's not trying to be realistic, so yeah. There's more stylized look to it.
Yeah.
Good. I hope you enjoy.
I will try.
Tony, you've been playing Shadows of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah, and I'm really, really enjoying it. This game, so I know you both you and Jeff played it in the fall, and you both liked it. I think I might even like it more than you guys did.
Really?
I guess I didn't expect as much of the like puzzle platforming stuff as is actually like in like the main quest of the game.
Yeah, they added a lot more of that to the actual gameplay this time around.
Right, because the thing that turned me off about Rise of the Tomb Raider was that there was just so much third-person shooting, which I guess is fine, but it, like, in this whole like Uncharted and like Tomb Raider-ish genre, like that was really starting to grate on me, and I didn't want any more of that. So the fact that they really like toss in so much of this platforming, like the stuff with like the throwing axe where you're like swinging from stuff, is awesome. And the way they like work the environment in so that it's like stuff is falling off while you're swinging, and it's just, it's really cool. So I really like that part of it. The platforming is really, really good. And the game is just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great looking title.
I mean, in terms of games from last year, it's got to be up near the top of the list because it is just stellar looking. The storyline, it seems like so Tomb Raider-ish. I'm like, Laura, don't take the dagger. Don't take the dagger. Yep. You know, and of course she takes the dagger because Trinity's coming. And like it's the Tomb Raider story again. You've played through it a bunch of times, but
I do like that, like she takes the dagger and basically like kills everybody in Mexico. Like,
right,
it's like, wow, they just like, if Nathan Drake was like a mass murderer with all of his shooting everybody that's around him, like Laura takes it to the next level. She just kills entire like population. Yeah. Just all at once.
It's also funny, like if you're in a section and you like kill everyone, like nobody in the next section knows that anything's happened. It's so funny how you just massacre people. She gets over that whole like killing everything pretty quickly though. Like I feel like that should grate on her a little more. I just wiped out a civilization. Oh well,
it happens.
It'll be fine.
Who hasn't done it one time?
I mean, one time. You got to give everybody one chance to cause like death and destruction over a widespread scale and like kill some children or whatever.
It is amusing that, because I mean, in that the Tomb Raider reboot, they made such a big deal out of her like being this like innocent and kind of naive person. And then like that first kill, it has some impact. There's like some weight to it. But then immediately, like you're just killing everybody and they've never gone back to that ever again. She's just like, yeah, that's what I
whatever.
Did.
Like once you break that egg, you gotta.
Yeah.
It's like Casino Royale. The first kill is always the hardest. And then it's all downhill from there. It's easy.
Yeah. It's like at that point, they're just numbers. Like, well, I am glad you are enjoying that one. It's a good one.
Yeah, it's a nice game to play the week that everybody's playing Resident Evil.
You don't like survival horror.
Yeah, I don't care about those games. So,
yeah, it's a shame Jeff is not on because he has played through. He's beaten both. Both campaigns. He's beaten Leon's and Claire. Yeah. Claire's campaign.
Yeah.
Yep, Jill's. It's a shame. It's a real shame. Feel such shame.
I have not played it yet. I'm playing through the original remake right now. Which holds up pretty well. But it's not one for you, so.
Do you like any Resident Evil games?
I don't like the control scheme. I can't stand it.
Well,
and like the survival horror stuff doesn't do a whole lot for me.
Well, I meant this because I know some of them are less survival horror than others. Maybe, well,
like
the current game.
Yeah, like five.
See, I did not like five at all.
Okay. At five, actually, like it has a stiffer control. Like it plays better, I think. But yeah, like that's probably one of the better playing Resident Evil ones, and that's more focused on like shooting. So if you weren't a fan of that one, then the other one's probably not going to do it for you.
Yeah, maybe six, but that's just a bad game.
Yes. It's a bad long game.
Which I started playing. I'm playing with a friend, and yes, like I think part of it is like half the time they don't tell you what to do, and it's just like you failed. I'm like, what did I fail?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, it does not do anything to signpost you in the right way, and like you either luckily stumble across the solution, or it's, you just bang your head against the wall
until ultimately something happens. You hope.
Mm-hmm.
Your head smashes,
or you fail because you spent too much time. Like they have some weird like puzzles that are time based. It's like, oh well, you ran out of time because you weren't able to figure out what you were supposed to do.
Yes, that's yeah, it's a weird game.
Yeah, I don't like six at all. I don't know if I will ever play that one again. But at least if you're playing with somebody, like you can joke about it.
This is so bad. Let's talk about it.
Co-op
is pretty much together. Like it's so ridiculous. It's a Resident Evil that just goes for set pieces, and so far removed from survival horror. Like there's one point where like riding on a back of a helicopter down a highway, riding on the back of a motorcycle down a highway shooting at a helicopter, and somehow you take it down.
So dumb.
Yeah.
I actually saw a video this week of somebody defending Resident Evil 6. And their defense of it is that it is so stupid that it reaches that, if you play it with somebody else, it reaches that level of like so bad it can actually be good.
I mean, I can subscribe to that, and I would paid like $10 for it, so I'm not like gonna whine about wasting my money.
Right.
It's just for people who are diehard fans who probably spent $60 when it came out. Because
mm-hmm.
This is, I mean, right now that's the unofficial end of the franchise.
Because
7's not reboot.
Is it?
I haven't paid. Does it take place? Like, does it continue the story of the Redfields and?
Yeah, well, Chris does show up at the end of that. And I haven't played there is a Chris DLC. But he shows up. He is at the very end of that game. He is there. You don't play as him during the campaign, but he is there. And because they call it 7, I don't know if they ever, I kind of thought it was a reboot up until then, but they do mention Umbrella a lot and, I don't know.
The People's Company.
Oh.
Oh yeah. Speaking of, aren't you and Jeff going to watch the movies?
Maybe. That is one. I don't. That's a big commitment. That's 9.
That
films.
Might be too much.
Well, you can skip the animated ones.
It's still 6, and 5 of them are really bad.
I will defend. Well, okay, the first one I assume is the one you counted as the good one.
I enjoy the first one,
and then I find the even number ones really terrible, and the odd ones not so bad.
So it's like the reverse of Star Trek.
It's also super funny, and we can get off this tangent. It's just super funny because like the movie franchise is set up in a way where they keep on doing something at the end of one movie. That this just like crap, we have to retcon this at the start of the next movie. And they do this every time.
Yeah. Every time. It's like it's almost like, oh well, the series is gonna end after this one. And then for some reason, stupid people like me go to the movies to watch it. And we've made more money than we thought we were going to make on this. So I guess we're going to make a new one.
But
And they have to
yes,
like find a new start.
at the end of the last one, we made her a superpowered being. We can't have that for the entire movie. How do we get rid of her powers in the most stupid and illogical way?
And then, like, what at the start of the sixth one, there's like a dragon.
Yes, and then you fight a sand dragon. You go downhill from there.
Yep. Like, you can't start off with them fighting a dragon. It doesn't get any better than that. Yes, Jeff and I may watch that if, we're feeling really bad about ourselves. Hopefully next week we will have Resident Evil news, Resident like Jeff's take on Resident Evil 2.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully.
Okay. Just one more Resident Evil tangent since we're on it right now, anyhow, and I actually forgot to mention it. They did announce that they're doing a TV show as well.
Yeah. That could be something.
Yeah, but then I was like, oh, Resident Evil show, that can actually work. Then it's like the same people who made the films. So I'm like,
It's not gonna
and then
work.
it's and then it's usually based off the games, and I'm like, so we'll see. It's on Netflix. It's for Netflix, I believe.
Is it what Paul
Well, it's
W.
not. It's not him. It's Constantine Films, which are the ones who produces
Okay.
the movies.
I don't have any hope for it being good, but I will probably watch it. Because why not?
I can't imagine it's worse than some of the movies, which again, it's not a high bar to cross, but.
It's true. But it, hey, if they can get it to be at least partially competent, that could be fun. There is fun lore there, like
Yeah, and the games skip enough that you can fill in the gaps between stuff.
yeah. Like there, I mean, there's a whole book series,
Is there?
like novels.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so there's like I think there's six books, and three of them like follow the games. I think it's like there's one for the first Resident Evil, then there's one that kind of follows two, and there's one that follows Code Veronica. And then there's like ones in between though that like feature other characters. Like I think the second Resident Evil book actually features Rebecca and Barry, who are side characters in the first game.
But they're also the stars of Zero, right?
Rebecca is the star of Zero. Barry is one of the stars of Revelations 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's another franchise. I would love to sit somebody down with and explain what order you play these games in and see what they come up with.
I would recommend just number order.
But then there's like Code Veronica, there's Revolutions 1 and
Veronica.
2. Crap, dudes. What is it? Outbreak?
Yeah, so and then like our friend Don actually was like he was saying he wants to play Operation Raccoon City.
Bought that and we paid it like twice.
Yeah, well we were mocking him this morning.
Yes.
And then there's DS games and there's the Gun Survivor games, which are light gun games that don't have
Oh,
a
yeah.
light gun.
Umbrella Chronicles.
Yep.
It. There's a lot of
Yeah,
Resident Evil.
you're right. There's a lot of like other ancillary things that fill in like pieces of the story that.
And also, not the same thing, but the animated movies are in continuity with the movie. Animated movies are in continuity with the games, yes.
Yeah. And then like the live action movies have absolutely nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
Except sometimes there are characters that
And sometimes they try, like, they're at
games.
their worst when they try to mimic what's going on in the video games at the time because it never makes sense in their
Yep.
universe.
Like I think the second movie like tries to do pieces of two and three.
Yeah, it has Nemesis. And then I think it's the fourth movie that introduces the axe wielding dude from four. I've seen these movies way too many times. which is kill you more than once.
So I think what you're saying is that if Jeff and I watch these, you will watch them with us.
Yeah.
I own like four of them already, so why not?
All right. I mean, Jeff did make me watch Batman and Robin, so.
Which I also own.
You know. I actually did not. I thought I did. I did not own Batman and Robin. I had to go find a way to watch that.
I got a Blu-ray. I owned it multiple times, but I have a Blu-ray set my friend got me for Christmas a few years ago. So that's my excuse.
So that's it for Resident Evil.
Thank God.
very briefly, I played a game called Jack Quest, which is out on PS4.
Yes, what is this?
Xbox One, PC, and Switch. It's a Metroidvania. I hate that word. It's a Metroid type game, pixel shaded, like pixel art style. Super simplistic though. And so you've both played Metroid before, the original Metroid.
Yeah.
You know how there's different biomes there, like where you get to a point and there's like the fire area and the ice area, or like it changes. Like it's not all just that opening cave.
Yeah.
This is just that opening cave.
Oh,
that's it. So it's, yeah, I think like it would have been a whole lot better if there was like different areas that you go to. There's like four like sub bosses that you have to fight. You get like power ups that allow you to access other areas. So it's set up exactly like Metroid, but it's like really it's just overly simple, I think. And the final boss is kind of a joke. He's actually easier than some of the sub bosses.
You know, sometimes I actually don't think that's a bad thing. I think like if you work through and kind of powered yourself up, you should be able to tank the boss. Like, it's supposed to be a power moment of empowerment.
Sure. Unfortunately, the game doesn't do a great job of showing you how you're to power up. Like, it just kind of like you just end up getting there. And I didn't feel any more powerful because you only have you get a sword very early on, and then with that sword, there's like a power move that you can do where it spins. And when he spins it, like you're invincible for a little bit. You don't get any other moves outside of that. And I think there's a bow you can get, but like you don't upgrade. It's not like in Metroid, like where you get missiles and different types of, shots. Like you get the ice beam and you can power up your shots. Like it's really just, you get this sword and you can do a spinny move with it. So it's not very deep like in that way. And then you get to this boss, which is this huge thing. Like it takes up most of the screen, and then like you can just beat him by jumping up and slashing and then occasionally moving to the right as he drops things from the sky. But for $10, like if you're looking for a pretty easy, like, couple hours, and you like Metroid type games, it might be worth checking out. Especially with me by one guy.
Especially when you don't necessarily have Metroid coming anytime soon.
Yeah. I mean, there are better versions. Like I think Axiom Verge is out on
everything
now. Yeah. So, but there are better games. But if you played all them.
If you played all of them, like all of them.
Ring an endorsement.
It's perfectly fine. I honestly will forget about it by next week. So
you're not doing a great job with selling this.
No, I'm not trying.
I've already forgotten about it. What was it called again?
Jack Quest, The Tale of the Sword.
Sweet.
Anyway, let's talk about a game that's not out yet. Anthem.
Anthem. Hey, I tried to play Anthem. I failed.
So I tried to play Anthem too.
So did you guys ever actually get to play?
I got to walk through the city and then get to the infinite loading screen.
Okay.
I got to play once. But I don't know if it was my, if it was the server acting up or if it was whatever was going on with my friend. But we had this weird kind of like rubber banding going on. So we'd walk a bit, then it'll pull you back. You walk a bit again, and then you make incremental changes. So it was hard to get a feel of the game because you just kind of had this zaggy loop going on.
It kept pulling you two together.
Well, not together, but it would like pull you back to like a random point. So like, you know, like sometimes you're playing a game and like, you hit a moment or that. Sometimes you run in a circle and whatever.
Right, right.
Usually it evens out at some point. This went on for about 20 minutes.
Ooh.
Then we decided, oh, we're just going to reset and try again. And that's when I got hit by the beautiful, beautiful loading bug.
So I did get the loading bug too. I was able to do a whole section of free play, which is, I guess, the easiest way to compare that is if you've played patrols in Destiny.
Right. Okay.
Like, it just stores you out in the open world.
Yeah.
And then there's things that happen. There's enemies out there. It's a little more sparse than Destiny, but it's also a bigger world. Destiny's areas seem way more closed off.
I was gonna say it feels like that the opposite here, because even in the little bit I did get to play, like, you'd have to go into like little rooms that were like loaded like behind load screens, so they weren't even like.
Okay, so were you playing a story mission?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my experience with story missions is exactly that. Like, it's very funneled. They want you following a path and doing that. The free play just kind of throws you out into the open world.
Okay.
And that was kind of cool. What you did get to play of the story stuff, what did you think?
Like I said, I honestly couldn't make heads and tails of it because we were just fighting the system so much. That said, just some basic takeaways from what I did get to actually, they need to work on their UI. Like, the whole thing with picking a mission is just so backwards. Because, like, you think you pick it on a map, like, oh, okay, that's going to trigger. It's like, no, you pick it on the map, then you have to go back and actually go into the mission separate from that.
Yeah, so that's how I ended up in free play. Because I had no idea what, like, I was like, what? I'm clicking, I'm hitting X.
I did the same thing. Like,
I'm Xing out.
I'm like, am I doing this wrong? And then eventually it was like I backed out and I was going to, and I accidentally kicked it. It's like the bottom option at 3 or something like that. And I'm like, why would you do that?
Yeah, it's really bad UI. I actually enjoyed playing it though.
It seems like it's fun. Like some of the stuff I got to try out that I was able to experiment with. I like the idea like your suit can overheat, but like if you fly near water, it cools it off. So you have that. That's a nice little thing touch to it.
Ooh, like Mech Warrior.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So like you can only fly for a certain amount of time before your suit will overheat, and then when it overheats, like. To cool it down, you just like dive in a pool of water, or you can just stand in it. Like you don't have to dive.
Yeah. And you can also hover, which is because you can't actually do combat while you're actually flying, but you can hover.
Interesting.
So that's nifty. I mean, I could be wrong. Again, I did not get a great feel for it. The ground combat feels very basic so far, though.
Yeah, if you've played Mass Effect, I would say specifically like Andromeda, it feels like that.
That's kind of what I was expecting, though.
Yeah, but it's very like. I mean, I think like in you've played the Mass Effect games, like they're not great third person shooters. They're competent enough.
Yeah,
but like you're not playing Mass Effect specifically for the shooting. Like,
right. If you are, there's something wrong with you.
Right, because there are better third-person shooters.
But this one, you are paying for the shooting.
Yeah, well, I guess, like, definitely in the demo, right? Because they don't give you any real reason to be doing anything else. I do hope there's like some sort of like story to pull you along, because if that's all it is, that's not going to hold my interest.
Well, from previews, it sounds like there is a story, but it doesn't sound like it's a super meaty. It sounds like Destiny, where there's a story. Mm-hmm. But like, does anybody actually pay attention to the story of Destiny?
No.
Okay. I paid attention to both. The story in Destiny 1 is hot garbage. It's better told in 2.
I paid attention in the first one. Yeah, that story's horrible.
I paid attention. I noticed a story in 2. I know there's a war coming and you're trying to stop it, I think. That's about as far as I got into caring.
Sure. I mean, it's pretty simple. I don't know. It was a bad demo.
Yes. The fact that mostly it didn't work is a big problem, especially like it's EA. It's an online game. They have a reputation, and they, you know, met that reputation.
Yeah.
That has me like really scared.
Well, I mean, I guess we'll get that second opportunity this weekend for an open one. So that's going to be super fun. But I mean, yeah, that's the thing. It's like this, like it's, like, I think one of the things people were trying to have a semantical argument with last weekend was, is it a demo or is it a beta? Yeah, he's advertising it as a demo. So that's what I'm going with.
Yeah.
And the game's out in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Right.
So it's not like a beta where it's like, oh, okay, they have time to fix this. It's like, this game is out in 2 weeks.
The game literally went gold while this was all going on.
Yeah, and really, like, hey, you want to call it a demo or whatever, but like, really, what they should have been like, it's a stress test,
right?
It did not pass.
but like to call it a demo, there's, to me at least, there's an expectation that this is just a slice of what the actual final game is.
Which I think it is what it is, but like you said, it's also a stress test for the servers.
Yeah.
I like that they were proactive with communicating over the weekend, but some of it was like, especially I think that they gave 2 updates on Saturday. One was like, we understood that a lot of people didn't have, people had problems on Friday, and I'm like, okay, I respected that. Then they gave one later on that Saturday, and they're like, oh, we fixed the problems. And I'm like, you did? I'm still can't get into it. So it felt bad reading, like, oh, everything, you know, like, we figured out
what everything's fine, except it's not fine.
And I'm like, you tell me it's fine, but I'm like, I tried all through Sunday, and I'm like, still getting that error.
And it's weird because there, it did seem like some people weren't having
any problems.
Yeah, like, I could get in, but then, like, randomly I would just get that connection issue, and then, like, I would hit A a couple times, and it would go away. And I know our friend Isabel, like, she was playing, and it didn't seem like she was getting those issues.
I think she was also playing on PS4.
Yeah, I heard people have
better.
And then the other thing I heard, which I think would be more frustrating, is that people would beat the mission and then get stuck on the Odin screen.
Oh, yeah.
So now their progress saved.
Yep. So that's where I didn't beat the mission. I was close, though, and for some reason a loading screen just popped up and I could not finish it. So like the 40 minutes I spent playing it was all wasted. Because you don't get, it's not like Destiny where it's instant gratification with the loot that is dropping. All the loot is redeemable at the end of the mission. So
oh, no.
You lose connection in the middle of your mission, you lose everything. Like, you lose all your experience, you lose all your, any of the loot and, you know, other equipment stuff that you would gain, all that stuff's gone. And I'm not necessarily against having the rewards at the end, but there has to be a way to safeguard that. Like, if your stuff isn't stable enough.
I mean, okay, at the end of the day, ultimately what you're saying is that like, it's an always online game. Mm-hmm. EA needs to get their shit together.
Yes.
Because like you can't have it where like let's say your connection's bad or your friend drops off or something. Like you can't use your progress just because you get disconnected somehow.
Yep.
That's a messed up system, and it needs to be a way that they are saving your progress as you go, and not the hopes that you finish a mission that maybe, just maybe, you can get back to redeem it all.
Right. Like, I mean, I don't have an issue with, all right, you lose a little bit of progress because it's only saving every like 5 minutes or so, but it does not seem to be handling it that way at all.
Yeah, like it, you know, they say you get, you know, one chance to make a first impression, and it doesn't seem like it. Like, the previews for it weren't like super positive, and people actually hands on time to. And again, this was a VIP demo. Again, right. Their words,
which is even worse because you called it a VIP
demo. I felt very VIP,
right? Very. It's like this is for the people we view as the most important.
Yes, or the people who paid us ahead of time for this game.
It seems like it's like SimCity all over again. That's kind of how it feels.
Ooh, yeah.
So, let's see. We'll see how this goes because, you know, like, it's open to everybody. I heard they're actually even advertising the open demo on TV, which is fascinating.
I hope it goes better this weekend.
And they had that stupid chart that everybody's making fun of.
Oh my god! Well, it's like it's the same chart that they had for Battlefield. Like they're going to do this for all their games now.
But the chart was dumb.
The chart.
So you guys want to explain it? Cause I've seen the chart. I did not actually look at it though.
So basically, there are six or seven different versions of Anthem, and based on which one you buy, you'll get to play on different days. Like they have different release dates.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Which again, I don't have an issue with. What I had an issue with the chart is the way it was set up. Like what they did wrong is they X'd out things that they're not supposed to X out. Because like for example, if you have EA Access, you get it like a week early. But then it says launch day is X'd out. Like that's not how it works. You still get it launch day if you have EA Access. Yeah. I don't know why that was X'd out. That's what bugged me about it. Like it's like you're supposed to show like, oh, this is what, like you're supposed to show like if you do it here, you get all of this. If you do it here, you get all of this minus one. Now, like if you do it this day, you get one. You do it this day, you get two. You get this day. I say it's weird.
EA.
Yeah.
They're a special group. I think I found the chart.
I can't make too much fun of EA. Like I'm playing Madden right now. I'm part of the problem.
Yeah. So on February 15th, get 10 hours of access to it.
Yes.
What I'm reading here.
Yeah.
All right.
10 hours. I mean, I don't think I would play more than 10 hours of this in a week anyway. So I guess technically that's my release date, right?
Yeah, and then February 22nd is, I guess, when that goes live for everybody else. So,
but then the chart makes it look like you only get that 10 hours of access.
Right, then it's over. I mean, unless you actually buy it, that's true.
Yeah, I guess if you have access, I don't know.
Exactly. It's hard to read.
Play first. Full game on February 2nd. I guess, and I'm gonna this is an interpretation that I'm making by looking at this dumb chart. They are trying to say that if you have EA access, you can you get to play it. You get to play the first trial, but EA Access does not give you the game on February 22nd. You then have to buy the standard edition. Does that make sense?
No. Okay. I mean, it makes sense, but the fact that you have, like, the chart should be simple enough that you look at it and you understand. Like, one, you shouldn't have a chart to figure out what the hell you're getting when you buy a video game.
It's true.
But like, it's not uncommon because we do that all the time with pre-order bonuses, where it's like pre-order from GameStop, you get this, pre-order from Best, whatever. It happens. This one pissed me off just because it doesn't make sense when you try to read it.
Right. So what is this Origin Access Premiere? Anybody know what that is?
There's like two different versions of Origin Access you can have on.
It's like one on a, yeah. I guess it's a higher level. It looks like they get the full game on the 22nd.
Sure, we'll go with that. Why not?
I don't have that, so they're not getting me to pay for that. That's Anthem.
Maybe.
We might have more if any of us can get in and play it this weekend.
Sure. I pre-ordered it on Xbox Live, so I have it. I'll be stuck with Anthem no matter what.
Can you not cancel pre-orders on Xbox Live?
I don't think so. Not when you I paid for it with like credit.
Still, so, I would have. It would be odd that you couldn't cancel a pre-order.
I don't know. That is a little weird, but also, I mean, can you cancel a pre-order on Steam or?
I honestly don't know. I don't pre-order games.
I think on Steam you can now. You couldn't before.
Right, because Steam has the return policy, right? Like, yeah. As long as you haven't played it with more than 2 hours, you can return it. So, well, whatever. Maybe we will play it.
Maybe.
I don't know. Like, I'm looking at this and the Division 2 seem very similar. Like, I mean, obviously, one is more realistic modern day shooter, and Anthem is basically like Team Iron Man, but like similar like structure to the way they want you to play them. Like, it's an always online game. You keep coming back. You pick up loot. Like, I don't know. Division 2 looks pretty good, but I'll probably buy both. So. All right. Do we got any other games to discuss? Hyrule Warriors?
Yes. I played Hyrule Warriors on the Wii U, but I picked it up on the Switch because it was on sale for $40. And I like to have a game to play during my lunch break at work. You get an hour, I eat, play a video game. So I just started playing that this week just to kill some time. I forget how much I really loved that game. I have minus beat 'em ups. I love the fact that I can just kind of the code pressing buttons of rapidity. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting take on the Zelda lore. I think there are... I mean, it makes sense. The Legend of Zelda focuses on Link in almost every game you play as him. But because of him being a silent protagonist in this, almost every other character in the franchise is much more interesting than he is.
Yeah.
So it's great to actually have a chance to play with some of these characters. And this one adds a lot of characters who weren't in the Wii U version and different art versions of Link. And of course, Yunku, which was added to the 3DS version. And I actually, like, you know, I wouldn't necessarily want Yunku. I should finish this statement before I get in trouble. I don't necessarily want Yunku in a Legend of Zelda game because of, she's not female Link. She's kind of like Link from Link's crossbow training. She gets dual crossbows. And I think she has she's more like a Little Red Riding Hood in her design. And that's really cool. And I think if they did an action spin-off with her or something like Ink's Crossbow Training 2 with her, that'd be more interesting than just being like, you can pick a female Ink in the next Legend of Zelda game.
Right. I could see that. Is she included in, I assume you're playing it on Switch?
Yeah.
So did they add all the stuff in that all
they did, but it's fascinating because, and I'm not that far in yet, but so far she's not part of the story. So what they did is like, she's essentially a guide-in. So her story takes place in concurrent with the rest of the game, just away from everybody else. So she's trying to get to the fight and she's getting lost. This is a cute little story. So it's fascinating where they're just like, we want to add content, but mm-hmm. we don't actually want to do any work. So we're just going to create this whole other thing back there. where you can do and have fun with that.
Cool.
But yeah, and then there's some other quality of life changes they made that I could be misremembering, but they add like owl statues to certain levels. Because, I mean, it's a beat 'em up, and for the most part, you can kind of get away with button mashing, but there is some type of map management at times with you holding bases and stuff like that, and you know, like preventing enemies from taking out certain key partners.
And who doesn't like an owl statue?
Who doesn't? Who, indeed.
Who?
But this makes it easier to kind of, like, you can activate this, and it makes it easier for you to navigate the map, because you can use the ocarina to kind of jump between, instead of, like, before you'd have to run back to certain points.
Right, like, which is how it was in, like, Dynasty Warriors. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you have, like, your base over here is getting attacked. You have to run all the way across the battlefield and try and
yeah. it. And there's still some of that, but this makes it a little bit more convenient for those stages that have it, instead of like, I'm going to be running for like 10 minutes to get to this base and hope it doesn't fall in that time.
I played like the first few levels of it and was terrible at it, which is weird because it's not a particularly difficult game, but it's, I don't know. I think that might be past the Dynasty Warriors stuff. Just doesn't work for me anymore.
I was going to say, how do you get bad at Dynasty Warriors?
Don't know. Maybe I was never good at them. Like,
And I do like, you know, the little Legend of Zelda stuff they add. So you get items, you get the bomb, the boomerang, the bow and arrow, the hook shot. There's certain bosses and enemies you can use these with that makes it easier. Well, the bosses, you almost always have to use these items with. And then, like, certain key enemies, you can use it to trigger certain special moves or moves where they damage other enemies, which is really neat. But, again, a lot of it comes down to timing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I love the fact that they have, like, this butt rock, Imagine itself the theme music. A lot of the music in this game is just really awesome.
I wish that it would, like, go on sale. Like, say every time I look at it, it's like either full price or only like $54.99 or something like that.
Oh. Like I said, I got it when it was $40 on the eShop. So,
but it's still
not a huge price. Yeah, it was that or Fire Emblem. I wanted to go Fire Emblem because I've never played it, but people said that's not as good.
I mean, go with the one that's better.
Yeah.
All right. Well. Continue on with Kingdom Hearts and Hyrule Warriors and let us know how that turns out.
Will do.
I think we mentioned this kind of at the top. Metroid was delayed. We will maybe talk more of that next week with Jeff, though, just to poke at him. But there was some other crazy stuff that went on this week. Metro Exodus. 2 weeks from release, pulled off of Steam and went exclusive to the Epic Game Store. That seems pretty crazy on PC.
It is crazy, and it's weird because like you think about it, like nobody bets an eye when something's like Steam exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And most games are just become the de facto PC storefront, but. Like, I guess because of the way Steam is set up, like you can just generate codes. So like any of your pre-orders from Steam will be honored on Epic Store anyhow.
Right.
And I think that was the big kerfuffle people had. And I think people just weren't used to Steam being challenged in such a direct way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any issue with Deep Silver moving Metro over to the Epic Game Store exclusively. It's just it is
apparently
weird.
It's $50. It's $50 for the $60 on Steam. Like we benefit from this. Like this competition is good because look, it's driving prices down.
Yeah. And hopefully it continues to do that so we get more competitive pricing.
And somehow people are against this.
Because people are really dumb.
I don't spend a lot of time on Reddit, but I was reading some stuff there and people are just like, for a group of people that feel that companies don't aren't out for the consumers. They are all like getting lining up to go to bat for Valve, and it's insane. Like it makes zero sense to me. Like I understand wanting to have your stuff on one platform, but really, like for PC, like that's the platform. Like, what does it matter where it launches out of? It's not like Steam is like, oh, I have Steam. I can't play it on my PC. No, it's literally just another icon that you open up.
It's too hard. I can't take it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Like I was gonna say, I can get it from a resource, but I can't imagine either one of these stores take a ton of room.
Right.
Don't pay to access them. I don't. Like, there's no downside to having.
It's like it's not like they make you get another console. It's not like that.
Yeah.
Right. Like if you want to play Uncharted 4, you have to get a PS4. If you want to play Gears of War 4, you have to get an Xbox One. Like this isn't like that at all.
Here, download this 50 megabyte program. Okay, done. Now what do I do?
I mean, I right now I have all four of my launchers open. I have Steam open, I have GOG open, Epic open, and Origin is open.
Yeah. I mean, I have all of those installed. I mean, the only one I open normally is Steam, but damn, it's not like it's a hardship to have the other ones.
Yeah.
And oh, it I hurts. Mean, oh, GOG. Ow. Ow.
And Epic's doing a good job of giving me free games, which I'm always thankful for. I think Jackbox right now, and I think next week is
Axiom Verge.
Axiom Verge. In case you want another Metroidvania, yep. Other than what Jackpot, whatever the game you were playing was called.
Jack Quest.
There we go. It had Jack in the name.
FYI, Axiom Verge looks better. It's like visually, it's more interesting.
Great.
I'm sure it's a better game too.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't quite like Shadow Complex though.
I have Shadow Complex in my library because I think when they originally brought the Epic launcher, Shadow Complex was free.
Okay. Yeah, and the great thing is, I assume almost everybody has a Fortnite account anyhow, so you probably have an Epic account sitting somewhere in your inbox.
Yeah, you do. I know I do.
I mean, thanks to how Epic was set up, I have like 5 of them. Just because every time I started a new like Fortnite, I downloaded Fortnite on my Xbox, or I downloaded Fortnite on my PS4, new account.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I don't know. I don't understand this. Like, let's support Valve to the ends of the earth, but I guess do what you want. Nintendo's, I guess they had their quarterly financial result reveal to shareholders.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
It looks like they're doing pretty good. Nintendo Switch hardware to date is at 32 million units. Software is at 163 million units. 3DS is at 75 million units, and software is 375 million units. So lots of they're selling lots of crap.
I mean, here's a sad thing on the side, is I'm certain that the Switch is going to do more in this fiscal year than the Wii U did its lifetime, which is just sad to see how bad the Wii U actually did in hindsight.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, I mean, I think the hardware, you know, it's under expectations, really, because they had to over forecast from 20 million to 17.5, which is still a great number. But again, it's the software that's been insane.
Yeah.
Smash Brothers Ultimate, I think, sold something like 13 million in its first month.
Well, the fact that people actually own Switches is beneficial.
I know, but that's still, I mean, I think, you know, like Sony came out and touted the fact that God of War did 5 million. And then Spider-Man PS4 bested that as Sony's best exclusive in its first month. And this game doubled that.
This is true.
Like we talked about last week, it has the record for the highest selling exclusive in North America as far as first month goes. And I don't get it. Like, I have Smash, I like Smash Brothers, I think they're, but I don't know. Like, it's not even like there's a big gap. Like, Smash 4 was just 4 years ago.
Right.
This is true. But nobody owned the Wii U.
Yeah, but they owned the 3DS.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Smash 4 sold something like 13 point. It's just set you above this one right now. And most of that was on the 3DS. But yeah, I don't know what it is about the Wii U, I mean the Switch, that's resonating. Because I mean, Smash Brothers aside, Odyssey has become the best-selling 3D Mario game of all time. Breath of the Wild is not a best-selling Zelda game of all time. Splatoon is at what, 8.3 million copies?
That's pretty crazy.
I think Mario Kart is at 15 million.
18, I believe.
Okay, 18 million.
Yeah.
And not only that, I think they said something like Mario Kart is at, like, what, 46% of the people own the consoles own Mario Kart?
Yep.
Super Mario Party is at 5 million something.
What's wrong with all those people who own a Nintendo console that don't own Mario Kart?
That is a fair point. But yeah, I mean, you don't see attachment rates like that on games. Unless you come bundled with the system. I don't even know. Has Mario Kart been bundled with this Switch? It has been.
Has it?
I don't think it's been a long time bundle. I think it did it like a month or two. Maybe in November. But still, almost 50% of the people owning your game is insane. Flip side, 87% of their software is first party.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's consistently been Nintendo's thing, though. Like, they people buy their machines to play their games.
I get that, but I feel like this is one of the first times in probably since the GameCube where you can say that there's third-party support that actually isn't like is
right. It's legitimately good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you can make a case that a lot of it are 8 ports or whatever, but there's still great games coming. Like, and then some of them I think are questionable. Like, we just got the announcement of Darksiders War Master.
Right, for Switch, yep.
That's the first Darksiders, right?
Yes.
I still need to play the last two.
But yeah, I mean, good quarter for them. Good quarter for Microsoft.
Yeah, Microsoft did pretty good. Their revenue was up. Let's see, 8% year over year.
Oh, nice. That's acceptable.
Their services, software and services revenue in the division was actually up 31%. So, and that was driven by third-party games. So that's pretty good. The hardware declined, but let's see.
Now, one thing that this is ready to Microsoft. Somebody pointed out the fact that Crackdown 3 is out in 2 weeks.
Yes,
mm-hmm. It does not feel like that game is out anytime soon.
I already have it downloaded. I'm ready to go.
Do you?
Yeah. If you have Game Pass, you can download it right now.
I still need to get on this Game Pass. But, like, have there been any previews or anything for it?
Yeah, for the last 17 years, it's been in development.
Dude, Terry Crews is everywhere. I love that man.
I have seen ads for it. on TV.
Terry Crews.
Yeah, with Terry Crews.
Okay. I'm just like fascinated because
9-9.
I remember when that was supposed to be a big because there's another game coming out soon too, isn't there?
For Microsoft?
No, not like that February 19th date was like this big weekend where a bunch of games are dropping.
Anthem's out then. Metro was out right before it.
Oh, and then Crackdown.
Yeah.
I thought there was a fourth one, but I could be wrong.
You very well may be right. It's
Civilization's new expansion comes out on the 15th.
Yes, that's what 14th. I was thinking.
That must have been it, right?
Yes.
That was it.
Because I'm all about that Civilization.
So Far Cry New Dawn is the 15th.
That's the other one I was thinking also, of. Also,
Jump Force.
That is not the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, it's the 15th and the 19th are all the way through the 22nd. It's Crackdown 3, Far Cry New Dawn, Jump Force, Metro Exodus, Steins Gate, which is going to be on Switch, and Phoenix Wright, which is the trilogy that's going to be on everything, and then Anthem. It's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, a lot of games. And then we still really don't have anything beyond March, but that's a discussion we've had before.
You know, there's not, like, I mean, there's Days Gone in April and Mortal Kombat 11, but that's about it.
MLB The Show.
Well, I mean, that's always there, isn't it? Actually, it's not listed. I don't see it. Maybe it's not real this year.
The 24th.
Of April?
The 26th. Of March.
Of March, okay. It's not it has been added to the Wikipedia page yet for video games in 2019.
It's on my personal tracker.
Tony's special list.
Gotta have my own list. I mean, gosh. Has
Total War Three Kingdoms on it.
It totally does, which I already purchased, though, so...
You just have a bunch of games ready to go, huh?
Well, so, you know, you get your, like, I don't know how it works at your guys' jobs, but they give us, like, Visa gift cards as holiday bonuses.
They do not.
So, that's what I did with them. I bought some games ahead of time.
Yeah, my job does not give me Visa gift cards. The most I get is probably a $5 Dunkin' Donut gift card.
They give us... When you hit certain milestones at my company, like if you've been there 5 years or whatever,
right,
they'll give you an Amex gift card. But our bonuses are actually just paid out in a check.
Perry, I need to work in the corporate world. This nonprofit stuff, we don't get money.
No,
we don't have money to give out.
My wife has been working in the nonprofit world for a long time. I tell her I work in the nonprofit world, but it's actually sort of not true. The money thing is nice. Money's good. I like money.
Yeah, money's great. I mean, I like what I do, but it sounds like money's the way to go.
I mean,
how much do you like stuff, Earl?
Right.
I like stuff a lot.
And Earl likes to travel, and if you like to travel, you need money.
I will say that's the flip side, though, is nonprofits are a lot more lax with, like,
you could take off and.
And nobody's going to bitch at you or make you feel bad about it.
This is true. My boss was actually complaining to me that she has to cancel her spring break vacations because she needs to go to London for our job. So,
yeah, that's like, I know there's certain key dates that I need to black out, but I get told that ahead of time. So I'm planning my summer vacation for 3 weeks, and I'm like, I'm going to tell my boss, and it's going to be no problem. Like, I started working there. Like, everybody was gone for a month that summer, and I'm like, okay.
I could do that too now.
Yeah.
That would be nice. I can't take off for a whole month. But
yeah, I could never get away with that either.
So that was Microsoft. They're doing pretty good, I guess. I don't know. I don't have Microsoft stock.
Well, I mean, Microsoft ultimately, I think their story is the story of next gen. They are, because I think one of the things that came up is that they're spending a lot more on development this past fiscal year, but that's more for setting themselves up for the future.
Right. Yeah, I think we'll probably hear at least rumblings about whatever they have next this year. So
I can't imagine. It would be a missed opportunity if they did not just roll out the red carpet at E3, since they really are the only show in town.
Yeah. But they've made bigger mistakes, so
this is true.
The last stuff I have here is two pieces of Nintendo mobile news.
You skipped over what's it called first? Quantum Dreams go multi-platform.
Oh yes,
because they threatened the rest of us now. So everybody's gonna have to suffer through David Cage games.
Yeah. So what? NetEase infused them with $100 million.
I don't know why. Did they not pay their games?
Right.
I mean, I guess they. Okay, we gave Bungie $100 million.
Like, I've paid Bungie games. I can understand giving them money.
Yeah. I mean, let's say I liked Heavy Rain at the time. I don't think that game holds up.
Nope. I don't think it was great at the time. It did some things that you never saw in games before.
Yeah, it was at the start of the resurgence of adventure games. Because that was still before The Walking Dead came out, so adventure games still weren't fully back yet.
I still dream about cutting my thumb off in that game.
Yeah,
that whole scene that was horrible, horrifying.
Yeah, that was a little Saw-ish. But what was the next one after that? Was what, Beyond Two Souls?
Is that them? Yes, yes.
Yeah, the one with Ellen Page. Or was it Ellen Page? Yes, because Ellen Page was in that one, not The Last of Us. The Last of Us had a girl that looked like Ellen Page.
Right.
Yeah, that one was less good. And did either of you play Detroit?
No.
I did not hear good things, so...
I played Heavy Rain, and that was enough for me to never bother touching his games again.
That was probably a good decision. So I've now played 3, and they're not great.
No.
And his writing is terrible.
Yeah, horrible. And that's the thing. It's like, I think there's a place for those types of games in the industry, but he's like one of those people. He is the... Ah, crap. What is that guy's name? Neil Brennan?
Okay.
The director. Like, he's the guy who thinks he has like these great philosophical ideas, and he makes really terrible movies out of them. And that's kind of what David Cage is. Like, David Cage is that guy who goes to parties, who thinks he's so smart and intelligent and talks you up. And you just realize he's saying nothing. It's just fluffy sounding words that sound important.
Yes.
And those are their games. I really do not like Heavy Rain.
Did you guys realize that that is supposed to take place in Philadelphia?
That's Philadelphia? Okay. Yeah. Sure.
I mean, you've been to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
It does not look anything like what they were, what he was depicting it as. It's a terrible representation, but maybe not as bad as when Chicago was done by Watch Dogs. So,
which is hilarious because Watch Dogs 2 did a perfect San Francisco.
Yeah, Jeff is still mad about.
Yeah, he should play that second game because it is so good. So good.
It's just mad. He's so mad about like the mountains being in the background.
The mountains, the Chicago mountain.
Just as a quick aside, since we mentioned Ubisoft and Real World, did you see that nonsense with them and Division 2?
All I know is
you're that they moved over to Epic specific. Games
too. So.
Oh no, because they, I guess they sent out a press release that for the Division 2 beta, and it's like if you want to see what a real Washington shutdown looks like.
Oh God!
And yeah,
well, that wasn't good.
That did not go over well.
Wow.
So it's like that when people in the people in GDC did the balloon stuff. It's like there's some stuff that like it sounds great in a meeting and you can laugh about it in the office, but don't send it out to the rest of the world.
Yeah, that was THQ with a Homefront with the balloons, wasn't it? They released the balloons out outside of it was like during I think it was during GDC in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And they wow. Yeah. Sometimes these marketing companies just don't know what the hell they're doing. Or they do, and that's even worse. you actually had a couple other things, Earl. There was the Doom movie was delayed.
I assume most people did not know there was a Doom movie coming out this year.
No.
As we found out with my Resident Evil discussion, I do keep track of video game movies. It is one of my 50,000 hobbies that I do somehow while working. And it was actually supposed to come out this month.
Oh, wow.
And, okay. And I've been looking for trailers for it since September of last year. And like I would check their Twitter accounts every so often. And nothing. So eventually it came out this week that the movie's delayed into the fall. I guess they think that the movie looks good, decent enough that they actually want to give time to give them a bit of more budget to actually enhance some special effects in certain scenes.
Promising.
Which is also weird because as far as I can tell, it's still supposed to be a direct-to-video movie.
So it's not going... It's not getting a theatrical release.
So far, I mean, things change in this modern age where things that are supposed to come out in theaters go to Netflix and things that are supposed to go to Netflix go out in theaters. You never know. But
Rock in it? I assume not if it's going to be.
No, it's a reboot, I guess, of the franchise. There's one movie. I don't think anybody's going to be like, oh, man, this is set in the Doom universe.
Right. Just the one with Dwayne Johnson and was it Carl Urban?
Yes. Okay. I enjoy that movie.
It's mostly fine except for that first-person sequence towards the end of the movie.
The first-person sequence is part of the reason I like the movie. Oh. Because it's so different. I like when they go for it. We're like, okay, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but we're going to try to tie it into the video game in some fashion.
Sure.
Because
otherwise it was just kind of like a mediocre alien clone.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if any of you have seen the House of the Dead movie.
Yes. Both of them.
Oh, I've always seen the first one. I do need to get around to the second one at some point. But I love the fact that they're like, we're going to add footage from the House of the Dead game, which I don't know if they noticed that video games age much faster than technology does. So they have footage from like House of the Dead 2, from like 1990 something, in this movie in 2003.
Yeah.
I watched like a decade later, and it's just, it adds to the comedy because it's like, you went for it. This is dumb.
I mean, okay. There's one thing that Uwe Boll does. He goes for it.
He goes always. For it. He shouldn't, but he does.
We all regret it when he does.
Yeah. Very much so.
And the fact that he's made, I think, almost a quarter of the video game movies out there is so telling.
There was a point when I think he was releasing like 3 or 4 movies a year. It was nuts. Like it was like, oh, here's the Dungeon Siege movie. Like,
well, when you shoot all the scenes in one take and never like edit anything, that makes it putting the movies together go a lot faster, so you can do a lot more.
Yeah.
The thing I don't get is how he roped certain people into it.
Right, like he got Jason Statham for that Dungeon Siege movie.
He had Ben Kingsley for Blood Rain.
Yeah.
At Yeah, I don't. I but that I also have seen like Ben Kingsley's resume. And I'm like, okay, at some point, people just kind of take roles to take roles.
They like money. I like money. You like money. Although those movies probably don't pay a whole lot.
No, they don't.
They're like, but you only have to do your scenes once. You're only going to be here for like 4 days. It'll be okay.
I can imagine that's at some point. It's going to be like a week. You get to go on vacation.
Christian Slater and Tara Reid are in that Alone in the Dark movie.
Yeah, so maybe that's another thing you and Jeff can do. Just have like an Ubo movie marathon.
Oh no. I've seen too many of them already.
I've seen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of his movies.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
He made multiple Dungeon Siege movies. 3 of them.
I mean, there's like 3 Dungeon Siege games, which is amazing, right?
Oh, this but they... True. No, your first one was actually based off of Dungeon Siege. Because I think even then they realized that, so they had to change it. Because it's like In the Name of the King.
Yeah, it's... Dungeon Siege. Maybe In the Name of the King 2, which is the second one. Dolph Lundgren's in that one. that one might be based on Two Worlds, because that's the subtitle, In the Name of the King, Two Worlds. So maybe it's like Game of the Year right there.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm closing down the IMDb page. IMDb page from the table. What's this Dragon Ball Project Z?
Oh, it is a new Dragon Ball action RPG that's coming out to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. It is, as far as I can tell, a retelling of the first season of Dragon Ball Z.
So this is a good entry point for people.
It should be. It is still Dragon Ball Z, so. But no, it looks good. I do like how they've gotten a lot of mileage out of that franchise. They also announced a season 2 for Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Okay.
I do not know Dragon Ball enough to tell you who the hell these characters are, but there are new characters coming. Some people seem excited by them.
Hey, do you know anything about Dragon Ball?
Absolutely nothing.
There's like Goku. Does that sound right?
Yes. I know Goku, Piccolo,
like yellow
Vegeta, Nappa, Krillin, Goten, Gohan.
I'm pretty sure you're making half these names up, but okay.
I could be. But yeah, I know like, I know the early stuff from like, you know, the first 60 episodes, just like 2 days.
Sure, and there's Shira and Lion-O and...
I know them. I know who they are.
Yes. Dragon Ball's another one where I feel like if you tried to explain that to people, you would also sound crazy, like explaining Kingdom Hearts, because Goku, as far as I know, dies like 15 times. At some point, he can turn into a monkey. But then they cut off his tail and he can no longer transform into a monkey. It's stupid.
Okay. That makes me really want to play this game. I don't know. I always hear people talking about Dragon Ball. I'm like, I should get into that. Like, I don't really like anime. And that seems like about as anime as it comes, so
it is the reason I do not like anime.
Fair enough. So there's also two Nintendo mobile pieces of news. Dr. Mario is coming to Android and iOS this summer. I like Dr. Mario.
Yeah, and I think it's a game that fits on the mobile platform.
Yeah.
The question you have to ask yourself is, how does Nintendo ruin it?
It's true.
Because they have a knack for taking an idea that seems novel and just somehow crippling it on mobile.
I didn't hate Super Mario Run.
But it was all, you always needed to be online, which I know it seems like a minor complaint, but like for me, who plays most of his mobile games on the go, during my morning commute.
If you lose connection,
yeah.
Yeah, so you'll probably need to be completely online to play this Earl, and you will be dropping pills down to knock out the viruses, and you'll lose connection. You will never actually finish a level of Mario.
Yeah, so, but I mean, yeah, it's a good one. I think, I mean, they've kind of realized that with Dr. Mario after the N64, it's not a retail franchise.
No.
I think the Wii version was a eShop title, and the Wii U version was what, Dr. Luigi?
Yes. And I think the 3DS had like a $5 or $6 eShop version.
Yeah, so it's Mario's a name brand that people know. It's a puzzle game that fits perfectly on mobile. And they're working with a new company, which I think is the actual bigger news here for a lot of people, because they started off with DNA Games, who did Miitomo and Animal Crossing.
I think so.
And then they started working with Side Games, who did Dragon Lost.
Yes.
And now they're working with Nine, which I don't know how much you folks follow the mobile scene. They have like this huge messenger app in Japan. I don't know what games they publish. I just know that they have this messenger app, and you probably be seeing stuff on Twitter and stuff like that where people usually. I don't know if you saw the Venom advertisement from Japan with like Venom going on dates and cutesy stuff.
No.
Okay. Nope, missed that one.
Okay, that some of that stuff was from their Line app. You've probably seen some Nintendo stickers and stuff like that, a Toad. That's comes from Line. So I'm curious to see what comes of that. But it is fascinating that, because when they got into mobile, they purchased 10% of DNA, and that was going to be their partner going forward, and that just has not worked out for them.
Right. It's from a business side, that's interesting. I just hope these games turn out good.
Yeah.
Because they announced that Mario Kart Tour is being delayed as well. So that was supposed to come out in March, and it's now not going to come out till summer of this year. That is the mobile Mario Kart game. Which I'm interested in.
I mean, it sounds like a cool idea, but I'm not going to like. It's not like one of my most anticipated games of the year, right? It's not, no, I mean, we're going to miss the fact that it's not coming out till.
No.
Yeah, and it's also been. I mean, I think originally it was supposed to come out sometime last year, so it's been delayed a bit. I assume they're trying to find that balance between like we don't want to screw up our golden goose that is Mario Kart on consoles,
right?
While still providing an experience that people want.
Right.
Yeah. And honestly, like if they could release a mobile version of Mario Kart and a new Switch version of it, I would get both. But the market is changing, so you have to be a little bit careful with that. I don't know. I hope it's good. I hope they're both good because I could use some actual good games on my phone.
I'm sure there's great games on your phone. It's just very, really hard to find out about them.
Yeah, that discoverability is a huge problem in the mobile. Well,
I think that's an issue, but also I find that there was a period of time early on when people would talk about mobile games, and then you can actually try them out. There's so many coming out nowadays. Like I don't even hear people talk about them on podcasts anymore. Like usually what happens is like you hear like, oh, so-and-so is being ported to this console. It's a great mobile game. Like, why had I never heard of it before?
Yeah, like Donut County. I didn't realize that was a mobile game to start with. And there was another little game that made some people's like top 10 list that I had never even heard of. I'm trying to think. It had something to do with like relationships or whatever, but.
That's not it. Yeah, there are a few of them that kind of pop up, and it's like, oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
My problem is, it's like, I usually hear, oh, that sounds awesome. Is it on Android? And it's always a 50-50 shot that it's a no.
Yeah. So that is that the market is certainly fragmented in that way, where I feel I get just about, like, if I wanted to, I get just about everything being on iOS, but people with Androids definitely do.
And then the thing with iOS is like, oh, does it, is it, oh, we don't support anything beyond X. So if you don't have a new phone, you're not going to get the new game. Yeah, it's mobile game is fascinating in that there's so many different ecosystems you have to work around.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like, because I've heard of games that I want to check out. It's not on Android. And then I completely forget about it when it does come out to Android, because it's like 6 months later and you kind of moved on.
Yep. So, mobile.
Mobile. Though that does remind me of one more mobile thing. Yeah. Partially because I was just joking about it. But Modern Combat 5. That is the actual name, which sounds like a knockoff. Yes. Is coming to the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, Modern Combat. Come to the Switch.
And the only reason I mentioned that is because I honestly do believe this is kind of the first four-time shooter that the Switch is getting.
Oh, is it?
It doesn't have Call of Duty. It doesn't have Battlefield. What else?
Right. I guess there's really not. It doesn't have PUBG. Yeah. So, and Modern Combat is, it's like a mobile Call of Duty knockoff, right? Like,
yeah.
That's gonna be shit.
Oh, I'm sure it will be, but it's always fascinating to think about the fact that the Switch has been out for 2 years and it really doesn't have that big first person shooter.
Right.
Like, I think the biggest, Fortnite is the biggest shooter on the console.
Right, and Splatoon behind that, but there's not really anything else.
Yeah, especially in terms of that big, well, yeah, that big,
big, PvP. Big bombastic. You have an M16. You're blowing up Afghanistan or something.
Yeah, because the Wii got Call of Duty and it got Medal of Honor. The Wii U got Call of Duty. Is this? Yeah, it's so weird to think about that stuff.
Yeah, it's that was something that I remember the Wii U like launched with like.
Yeah, it's sad because if the Switch launched with the third party support the Wii U had, it'd be a much. I mean, it's a great system, but it'd be so much better. It's the same thing with. To kind of tie back to the circle that we were forming in this convoluted way, it also helps the game because then Modern Combat, which honestly I had never heard of, now gets a second life because, oh, it's coming to Switch, so it's a brand that's out there. And now I'm kind of curious, like, is this game even worth anything? I can download it for free on my phone to check it out.
Right.
This is all true.
Well, you do that. Let us know if Modern Combat 5.
I said I was going to do that.
I will not be doing it, but Earl, it's all you.
You see, now I feel like I should.
I feel like you're obligated now. You just...
we need to know.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop talking because I've already somehow signed myself up for Resident Evil movie rewatch, and now I'm down in some mobile first-person shooter.
Yeah, basically, you're ruining your own life with good ideas. I know. Congratulations.
And you're already in the middle of like a Kingdom Hearts playthrough, and wow. You're going to need a vacation soon.
Just take a week off to catch up on the games and movies I promised myself to engage.
I would play all these. I don't even want to. Okay. Is there anything coming out this week? Nothing is on my radar if it is. So. Just the Anthem demo.
Anthem demo.
And Wargroove comes out tomorrow.
And that's the
the Advanced Ward strategy RPG.
War Group, is that a Switch game?
Well, it's on Switch, Xbox One, and PC.
Oh, interesting. I might try that then.
So
yes.
That seems definitely seems up your alley.
And not necessarily a new release, but Super Bomberman R is a game for gold next month. So that should be tomorrow. And get it. Super Bomberman R is amazing.
I don't think I've ever played that. So.
And it's free. Well, I have it. I bought it on the Switch. I have Bomberman.
I'm not sure I can afford free. That's too much.
And, of course, the Anthem open beta demo is this weekend. So fingers crossed that we'll get in. Because I have to do something. I don't want to watch the patch.
What? What is that? What did you just say? I don't understand those words that just came out of your mouth. Please explain them.
Most people don't, Tony.
Most people don't. Especially New Yorkers. But yeah, I don't.
You guys are like in hell this year. Like it's LA, which you guys don't like, and Boston. Oh, wow.
That sucks. And the Knicks are screwing themselves over today, so that's always fun.
You didn't need your best player, did you? He doesn't really matter.
I mean, at this point, we can have the fans say, who cares?
I saw a number of people on Twitter telling me how great this trade was. They thought it was awesome. The Twitter people.
I know diehard New York fans. We can make anything seem good. You just smile through the pain.
Meanwhile, I heard Spike Lee killed a man over this. Pretty sure.
Well, we will be back next week after Earl plays all of the things that he has promised to play.
Will do.
No, we will hopefully have Resident Evil 2 next week. And another update from Earl on Kingdom Hearts. And maybe finally, I believe Pete is never returning, but but if he does, he has said that he has lots of Kingdom Hearts 3 stuff to talk about.
I think he's a myth. I'm pretty sure he's a myth.
He doesn't actually exist anymore.
That's right.
We'll see. But definitely Resident Evil and then a bunch of other stuff. So there's no Jeff to say goodnight. So I guess,
He's watching the Knife Force. He's in a better place.
Rest in peace.
I'm not sure he froze to death. He did. Everybody stay warm. I believe it's supposed to start getting warmer, but stay warm. We'll be back next week.
Do you promise?
No.